Professor Galbraith, your new book has caused quite a political stir in Greece. But firstly, let me ask what the main points of your book are, what the main themes are.
Well, the book is an account of my, mainly of my experience in Greece and working closely with the finance ministry in the first 5 months of the Syriza government. But it starts in 2010 or so with the catastrophic decisions that affected Greece that year, with the onset of the crisis, essentially, and carries on through the summer of 2015. And it's it is a personal account of the situation faced as I saw it by the Greek government and the Greek people.
Mm. Now, it has been dubbed as the Plan B or the Plan X. Some of the
there's an appendix in the book that describes one aspect of my engagement with Greece, which was that for a certain period, about 6 weeks in the spring of 2015, I was asked to assess what would be the challenges associated with the worst case scenario if Greece were forced by its creditors to exit the euro. And that was it. That was a distinct possibility. And it was necessary to have a look at what the problems would be. You know, admittedly, it was a daunting series of problems.
Yeah. Now, you were asked by whom?
By the finance minister.
Yanis Varoufakis.
Yes.
Did you have any meetings also with the prime minister undertaking this task?
No. No. The last time I saw Prime Minister Tsipras was when I traveled with the Greek delegation to Brussels in February of 2015.
Mm. Now, some of the proposals of Plan B or X resemble eerily, if you don't mind me saying, the makings of a coup d'etat. What is your response to that?
That's a preposterous suggestion. An off-site academic and a few finance people and a lawyer could organize a coup d'etat, there would be a great many more coup d'etats in the world than there are.
Yeah.
We were asked to look into what would happen, what would have to happen, if Greece were forced into an extremely difficult position. And, of course, it would have been very difficult. It would have been very disruptive if that had happened. But it was necessary for someone to look very discreetly at the circumstances, and that's what we did.
Do you believe that it was the better option, also in hindsight, for Greece to exit the euro?
I was never in favor of Greece exiting the euro, and neither was the government, nor was the Minister of Finance. It was not my position personally to make that judgment. Needless to say, I was working in line with the policy of the government, which was to avoid an open confrontation with Europe, with the European creditors, but to attempt to negotiate a better set of economic policies for Greece. That was our mission. That was, I should say, the mission of the government and the finance ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And problem that we faced was an atmosphere of complete intransigence and obstinacy and a refusal to make any accommodation to the actual needs of the Greek economy, as well as you, I think, surely recall, the European Central Bank was engaged in a policy that was promoting and provoking instability in the Greek banking system. So we had to deal with the climate of threat that the government was facing at the time.
However, it is a fact that the capital controls that were placed later on were that was a decision of the Greek government, correct?
It was a decision imposed by the European Central Bank. So quite the contrary. What happened when capital controls were imposed was that the European Central Bank announced that it was capping the emergency liquidity assistance available to the Greek banks. And in order to avoid a run on the banks as a response to that action, capital controls were inevitable. But it was the government did not favor the imposition of capital controls.
Yeah, but the government wanted to go to a referendum, though. So
the government did go to a referendum.
Yeah.
That happened at the same time. But the imposition of capital controls was simply the only option that was available once the European Central Bank made its decision to ratchet up the pressure by capping the emergency liquidity assistance.
Hmm. With this new memorandum that is in place, what do you think are the chances of the Greek economy finally getting out of this vicious cycle?
Very small. The new memorandum has raised taxes, it has deepened the cuts in Greek incomes, and it has imposed accelerated the imposition of fire sale privatizations, which the Greek Minister for Infrastructure in the current government described as better suited to a colony than to a member state of the European Union. So what is happening essentially is the climate is being made as easy as possible for Greek assets to be sold off at very low prices to outside parties. This has nothing to do with fostering a recovery of the Greek economy. And so far as I can tell, there is no further thought being given to fostering an actual recovery of the Greek economy. It's very unfortunate, but that seems to be the case.
So in your opinion, what is the solution, if there is a solution?
Well, I believe that the last chance for a significant improvement of the Greek situation was lost when the creditors simply refused any concessions to what were the rational positions of the Greek government in the spring of 2015. The Greek government at that time, as you recall, was seeking a reasonable primary surplus target, a program of privatizations that would allow the Greek government to enjoy some of the upside if the investments were successful, protection for some of the most vulnerable and nearly destitute pensioners, and a labor market set of labor market regulations which would be in line with the standards of the International Labor Organization. That was essentially the platform of the program of the Greek negotiators. They were not able, were not given any concessions on those points. So now it is a question of whether the policy of Europe as a whole can be changed by a broader-based political movement in Europe, which is what the Democracy in Europe movement is attempting to achieve. That, I think, has
the Democracy in Europe movement.
But of course, it's a very difficult political struggle.
Would you like to elaborate on the Democracy in Europe movement?
Well, you know, a functioning set of democratic institutions has, among other things, transparency and accountability. And one of the interesting features of the Eurogroup, for example, the group of financial finance ministers that was one of the negotiating forums that the Greek government faced in 2015, is that it doesn't have any of those things. It doesn't, even so far as I know, have proper stenographic records of its meetings. It's an ad hoc organization. Regularizing and opening up those kinds of institutions, and also the giving the European Parliament, for example, confirmation power over major appointments, would help to bring a democratic legitimacy to European institutions. This would be a proper way for Europe as a whole to proceed, given that it's not just Greece. Europe is clearly facing a crisis of legitimacy. The British vote is a sign of that, as are the rising movements in Holland and France and elsewhere that are simply have lost confidence in the European Union. So there's serious dangers that have to be met in a serious way.
Now, as a result of the publishing of your book in Greek, the main opposition party, the Conservative Party, is asking for a parliamentary inquiry committee to be set up, looking into these events. Will you appear before such a committee if, of course, such a committee is set up, and if you're called to testify?
I haven't been asked, so we'll leave that one until such time as the Parliament makes its decisions and I get a request.
You dedicated the book to Yanis Varoufakis and his wife. You're a good friend of Mr. Varoufakis. What do you think is his greatest strength and what do you think is his greatest disadvantage?
Well, I'm very close to Yanis Varoufakis and I admire him greatly. I admire him on grounds of intellectual strength and personal integrity.
And his greatest fallacy?
Oh, I'm not going to join the ranks of his detractors.
And finally, what is your opinion of Prime Minister Alexis Tsipras and how he's handling the situation at the moment?
I haven't seen Prime Minister Tsipras in now more than a year. My relationship with him up to the time that I left Greece was entirely professional and cordial. I have a great deal of respect for him. And I have not changed that personal view of him since then. That he is obviously a man in an extremely difficult situation, making hard political judgments. And that is his responsibility.
However, he has been accused of lying to the Greek people. What do you think? Has he?
That's your assessment. I'm not going to comment on that.
Professor Galbraith, thank you so much for your time.